This is the part where I start talking because our computer has blown up. Hello! Good morning, everybody.
The computer went kablooey.
Is that North Korea or is that just
no,
normal,
it's just stopped working.
Our normal crap. Okay. 1-800-STEP-1.
North Korea sent a virus.
Yes, there you go. Thank you.
And you were just warning me about my ancient laptop going kablooey.
Yeah,
I was.
Right?
Well, this is an ancient computer, actually.
Thanks a lot, Kim. Okay.
1-800-Jong-un.
Scott Evil to us.
Yeah.
All right. 1-800-STEP-1.
It's the Stephanie
really?
Miller Show.
Really? Really? Time to feel good.
Good.
Yay. Listen, I think I'll be the judge of that at this point. All right. Okay, then. That's delightful. Hey, we have a big show coming up. Let's hope things get better.
Yeah.
Rear pundit Charlie Pierce, comedian Michael McDonald, as I was saying, owner of the longest eyelashes in show business.
Yes.
And the prettiest blue eyes. In studio with us in hour number three, director Gary Marshall. How exciting is that?
Yep.
All right. And I do have one fake eyelash that has gone rogue like North Korea, as I was mentioning.
You're
something.
You're Alex DeLarge in The Clockwork Orange.
Right.
Eyelashes on them.
Yeah.
She
exactly.
did not get that reference.
Of course not.
No. Is that before or after the rat mask?
Malcolm McDowell.
Right. Right. Okay. All right. Let's hurry up with that missile shield. What's happening? Exactly. What's going on? It's getting a little scary, isn't it?
Yeah. They're telling foreigners in South Korea to get out. Otherwise, they're going to get ensnared in a long and protracted war.
Yeah.
Really?
That's in every scary movie. That's when someone says, get out.
Seth Meyers said on Weekend Update, it's like, beware, middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
You better look out. All right. Yeah, but they're fearing a fourth nuclear test, yes?
Yeah.
This is the...
Well, if they keep testing all of their nuclear bombs,
they're not going to have any left.
Then they'll
be
left.
Like that scene in the movie when you got no bullets and you just throw the gun.
Yeah.
Like we just throw
a missile across the border.
We don't have enough radiation from Fukushima. Now we got the North Korea blowing stuff up.
Oh.
Great.
All right, all the testing has gone spectacularly, and now... Oh, wait. Keys, wallet. No!
Oh!
Nukes! All right. Yeah, that's the headline. North Korea recalls workers as fourth nuke test feared.
Mm-hmm.
North Korea plans to recall 51,000 workers temporarily. They've sequestered themselves.
They have.
And temporarily shut down its operations at some park that I can't pronounce and I'm not even going to try.
Please don't.
Kaesong. I think that's close enough.
Well,
right?
Without that weird accent you did at the end, sure. Kaesong.
I thought this would make it sound more authentic.
No, Kaesong.
All right, I can't even say "fo" correctly. What do I know?
Maybe something completely
all right.
obscene in Korea.
probably.
It's the park that it runs jointly with the South Korean companies just north of the border. Analysts in South Korea see the move as a leap in Pyongyang's determination. What? I can't say it otherwise. To make sacrifices amid its increasingly belligerent rhetoric, including indications of a fourth nuclear test. Stop looking at me like this. This is a big deal, said a foreign policy expert, also who I will not try to pronounce because you're going to give me that look.
Yes.
No more words. They're really taking a blow economically and demonstrating they really mean what they've been crying out loud. Oh, come on. Don't cry out loud.
Just keep it inside.
Don't cry out loud. Learn how to hide your feelings. Lie high and proud.
Yeah, I don't have that.
All right. Okay. Damn it. All right. Look at some listener comedy from Jeff in Iowa. Because I thought, I know, I'll get called an Obama apologist. I thought he was amazing yesterday.
He was great. But you know what? Only one network carried it.
Really?
Fox News ignored it completely.
Of course.
CNN dumped out of it.
He gave a very impassioned speech about guns.
CNN dumped out of it before he got impassioned.
Well, I have to leave it there.
Because they had to have me on with my rogue eyelash. You know what happened? Do you know how long it took just to drive there and hair and makeup and eyelashes? And then it was so windy here, my satellite went out. So I only got to see one thing, and I was like, that's it? I missed an entire glass of Chardonnay for this.
And you had a flask of Chardonnay, don't lie.
And all you said was Pyongyang.
I did not say that. That was not the subject.
That was it. That's all they heard from you.
Then somehow my satellite was cut.
Who could be behind that, I wonder?
Jeff writes regarding gun safety. Steph, as you know all too well, back in the 70s, a lot of people played with lawn darts in their backyard.
Mm.
Well, some people called it playing. I called it impaling.
Sure.
Because I was a little too spazzy.
And drunk, probably.
No, I was not drunk. I just was spazzy.
Okay.
and I forgot to let go, and so I had really good follow through. Like, it would have been a really good throw if I would have remembered to let go of the jar, but I did not.
I'm still trying to picture how this.
Were you holding it backwards? So you.
No, you know, you usually throw it underhand, and
right.
So I.
There's a little handle at the
end. Okay.
Right.
And you.
And so you just have to continue.
It took some doing, I tell you what.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Let's see. Over time, due to many serious injuries, we've talked about this, and some fatalities from clumsy people who misuse these toys, I was not the only one.
Right.
The Consumer Product Safety Commission decided lawn darts were too dangerous and forced them off the market. Lawn darts weren't effective, mind you, just dangerous when used incorrectly.
AR-15s are fine.
By little spazzes from lawn darts, like me. They should. They just put a warning. Attention, little spazzes from Buffalo.
Well, I think they changed the name of the product to Herp Therp.
Ah! Ermagerd!
Sorry.
I got a jerk in my head.
Which way did it go?
Okay. Meanwhile, guns are used to maim tens of thousands of Americans every year and kill 20,000 more. And we cannot even put modest limits on their sale or possession. I think you see where I'm going with this stuff. Mm-hmm. How can we tolerate the government confiscating our lawn darts when guns kill 1,000 times more people in a single year than lawn darts ever did? Steph, I believe you are uniquely qualified to be a spokesperson who stands up to this government tyranny and says no more. You could be the Charlton Heston of the National Lawn Dart Association. Your motto would be, they can have my lawn dart when they pry it from my cold, dead
forehead, skull. Head.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Jeff. I could nail that endorsement.
You could.
That is not what it sounds like when a jart goes in your skull. That's like a mini trampoline.
No, it's not.
No. You're fired.
You're fired.
What does a jart impaling your skull sound like?
See? Better.
I don't have...
And he did his mouth.
Ow!
That's what it sounds like.
Some you have them crackling skull sound effects. Like, okay. All right.
That's a broken fibula, though.
There you go.
I don't think a skull would crack like that.
That's like my movement was made of paper mache.
Exactly.
Ow, Mom!
Okay. We're off the rails early this morning.
All right. I'm sleepy. It was amazing. It really, every once in a while, something cuts through the political clutter. And I thought the president yesterday, you can say what you want about it, but, you know, the power of the parents from Newtown and everybody being there and the way he spoke about it, that you cannot fake that. And the president yesterday.
We have to tell Congress it's time to require a background check for anyone who wants to buy a gun, so that people who are dangerous to themselves and others cannot get their hands on a gun.
The right to bear arms bearing fringe.
Exactly. That was the response. That was Wayne LaPierre in a nutshell.
Herp derp.
Yeah. And then he said, right, herp derp. All right. The president again.
In the wake of a tragedy, you'd think this would not be a heavy lift. And yet some folks back in Washington are already floating the idea that they may use political stunts to prevent votes on any of these reforms.
Talking to you, Ted Cruz. I mean, it is. They're playing politics, the same old politics on an issue.
With children's lives.
Yes,
I think
you
should just call him Ted McCarthy.
Just change his name.
That
Ted
works.
McCarthy. All right.
He's doing the McCarthy, one-man show, pretty much anyway. So.
Yeah, exactly. All right, the president, one more time.
This is not about politics. This is about doing the right thing for all the families who are here that have been torn apart by gun violence.
Talking to a friend yesterday, and we were saying about, people always talk about, you can't, showing the little coffins, is that too much? Or, you should show what it actually looks like. And I think it was our friend Melissa Fitzgerald was saying yesterday, she was saying she changed her mind on that, that maybe we should have to see that.
Well,
because
that's
it just becomes another news cycle. Maybe you should
Michael
have
Moore,
to see what it looks like when a six-year-old gets killed with an assault
rifle
from this
Moore
close.
That's been saying, that they should show the pictures of the mangled faces of those kids
so
they know what actually happened. It becomes real.
Because it's not an abstraction anymore.
It's kind of like the argument against death penalty. We should be able to show, executions on television. That would probably...
Well, of course, that's, death porn for...
Well, and for some people, these photos would be death porn.
I mean, and that's the thing. People, if you did that, the right wing would scream, the NRA would scream, that's indecent, I can't... indecent?
That
our gun laws.
Exactly.
Right. The fact that it happens is what's indecent. Yeah.
That someone like Lanza could get hold of those weapons.
Yeah, exactly. The president again, yes.
Newtown, we want you to know that we're here with you. We will not walk away from the promises we've made. We are as determined as ever to do what must be done.
All right. God bless him. And then we will...
But in other Obama news, Obama accepts GOP austerity, cat food war, and the unwealthy. Is the,
what?
Buzz Splash right. Headline. Today.
All right.
What? Could it cat food? What are you talking about?
All right. You know what? Just pick up. We'll have a whole naysaying segment for you right now. Let's everybody stay. Keep your arms and legs inside the topic at all
cat
times.
Cat food? How did that creep in?
Never mind.
It's an austerity
the article.
Thing.
Yes.
Social Security. He's going to, you know. All right.
He's going to poop on your Obama.
Right. Okay. Exactly. He is in desperate straits. 17 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is Too Weird, Man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, looky here. The headline is GOP Congressman's gay son claims CNN and MSNBC canceled him when he refused to bash his dad
for not
supporting gay marriage.
I believe that.
I would have called on CNN and said, not only is he my dad, but he is a bigot. I would have said that because, you know, I'll say anything to
I know
on TV.
As long as they tell
is
you
to say
it.
Is that what you want me to say? I'll say it. That's not true. No, but you know what's interesting?
I get paid by the word.
No, I don't. I get exactly 0 cents for every word. Yeah, Representative Matt Salmon's gay son.
Yep.
Said that CNN and MSNBC canceled him after he told him he would not bash his father for his stance against gay marriage. Matt Salmon said he's disappointed his father has not changed his position on gay marriage. However, he still enjoys a good relationship with him. Mm-hmm. He also said his father's not a bigot. Rude Pundit would beg to differ. Rude Pundit wrote a great piece on it, there is no other way to explain it. And he does a great thing about through the ages with the Supreme Court, whether mm-hmm. it was slavery or the Supreme Court necessarily, but slavery, the right to vote, all of that stuff. People have used the same arguments, and it is bigotry. It absolutely is. So anyway.
But the real story is Mr. Salmon spawned.
Right. Right.
Well, he's Mormon, so he spawned quite a few times.
Does not support. If you don't swim upstream to spawn with someone of the opposite sex.
Should have called his kid Gil.
Stop it. All right. Now, point is, accused of canceling the interviews are my good friend Lawrence O'Donnell and mm-hmm. Piers Morgan, who I see every day in hair and makeup. So I'll be sure to address it with him today in hair and makeup when I'm getting my false eyelashes put on.
I totally believe it.
Yeah.
Piers Morgan's a big Arsenal fan.
Well, I
should know that.
No, but I think Rude Pundit makes a really great case about that. People that argued, if you watch the movie Lincoln, people that argued for slavery, they didn't think they were bigoted. They thought the Bible said you're allowed to own slaves.
Yeah.
They did. Right.
In the Old Testament.
Yes. That's my point.
The slaves just happen to be the Jews.
Mm-hmm. Mary in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Mary.
Aloha, Mama.
Aloha.
I am calling you from LAX after just having spent 10 days on Maui.
Nice.
Oh, thank God for calling as soon as you got back. Thank you. You know I need my land safe messages.
You sound very relaxed.
I am very relaxed. I think it's because I'm a little tired from the overnight flight, probably also because I'm still a little drunk from all the wine in first class.
Awesome. Yeah, that'll do it.
Awesome. Good for you.
But I wanted to let you know I've been mamaless for over a week now, and I missed you so much.
Aww.
But I was not going to get up at 3 in the morning to listen to you.
Yeah, then you don't really love me.
Well, you know what would help that situation? The StephCast, only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
Exactly.
Because then you could listen to it at any time you desire.
By the way, can I just go out on a limb here and say one thing that I know for sure? That was not a love call. She was waiting for her bag at LAX, which, as you know, takes longer than the flight no matter where you came from. Even if you flew from New Zealand. It takes longer to get your bag.
I've waited.
Right?
I've waited past 45 minutes for my bags before. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. When we came back from D.C.
Terminal 1 seems to be the absolute worst with that.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Just letting you know. Put it on notice, LAX.
So important to people listening in Columbus. Okay, Laura in Pennsylvania. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Laura.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Okay. This is for all your voters out there, and if you will please get a pen, I'm going to give you a number. that Chris Matthews put on the air, which he didn't like to do. He said, but it's this important.
Fair enough.
For the U.S. Senate. And it's to all the Democrats and the Republicans for I'm getting a little hyper here. That's Call your party. Tell them you will not vote for them in 2014 if they touch Social Security, Medicare, Medicare, and Medicaid. And another thing, too, Republicans, you voted for them. You're going to lose just like we are. So if you have a pen, I'll give you the number.
Okay.
It's 202-224-3121. Okay. I'll give it to you one more time.
All right. All right. We got it. I got it. Thank you, Laura. I'll do it again. 202-224-3121. I got this. That's what I do for a living.
Yeah, it's what you do.
Give out phone numbers. That's pretty much my job.
1-800-STEPH-12.
All right. By the way, the other magical part of the rescue dog that I just rescued and found a good home for, it worked out. It wouldn't have worked with me because Indy did not like Chris Matthews. And that was never going to work.
Oh.
Because Chris Matthews is a daily feature.
Many pets don't like Chris Matthews.
She freaked out. Ah, fair enough. She was like,
why is he yelling at me?
And then she didn't even get to Al Sharpton. That would have been the whole thing.
The dog ate the blueberry pie.
Brent in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Brent.
Hello. How are you, Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, I was just wondering, I haven't heard much about this except from the Young Turks last night about what's happening in Arkansas with the oil spill and ExxonMobil apparently coring off the area, not letting any press.
Yeah,
right.
And even imposing a no-fly zone.
Wow.
Are you implying that a big oil company might have something to hide from the general public?
Well,
I'm thinking just maybe.
Well, what they're hiding is that they're using paper towels to fix the spill.
Yeah,
because people went in there with their cell phones.
Are you making that up?
No,
that
was on the news last night. Yeah, that people.
It's a bounty commercial.
I was just going to say, it's a bounty commercial.
No, they literally were using paper towels to try to soak
it's
up.
It's a quicker picker-upper.
Yeah.
Thank you. I bet you they do. They made a deal
with
Bounty.
They're going to get Rosie from that diner out there.
Product placement. There you go. Okay. All right. Rue Pundit, as I said, has some great stuff. I just thought it was really timely in terms of what people have justified over the ages and how it is not. Because this is what, you know, it's interesting. The right wing now is trying to put that out there that it's unkind of the other side to call them bigots if they're not for marriage
equality.
They're
trying to turn it around.
Oh, it's unkind, and you're
How
not.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're so put
just
upon.
Just because we can't use the F word for gay men anymore.
Yeah.
That's just unkind.
Christians have been so put upon in American history.
Right, exactly. All right, so we'll talk to Rude about all that and more 29 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is the lowest I've ever sunk, and I once made out with
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Wow, I've started the storm early this morning. Let's talk to Rude.
Sleep up at the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
You are not only the Rude Pundit, you are the Psychic Pundit now, because you wrote this great piece about, sorry conservatives, you are a bigot if you oppose gay marriage. And you heard this thing about the gay Republican's son, right, Matt Salmon?
No, tell me.
Oh, well,
please inform me.
This is where you come for all your news needs. GOP congressman's gay son claims CNN and MSNBC cancel him when he refused to bash his dad for not supporting gay marriage. Representative Matt Salmon's son, he said that he still has a good relationship with his father. He wishes he would change his position on gay marriage, but he said he's not a bigot. And I said, I thought you wrote a great piece about how that is. I think that's not true.
No, he's totally a bigot. Sorry, your dad's a bigot.
go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's just that simple. You know, it's almost like the definition of bigot. If you oppose somebody being treated the same as you, that kind of makes you a bigot and a jerk.
Yeah. Well, and I love that they've tried to change the debate to the other side. We're being unkind if, you know, we call people who till 5 minutes ago were calling gay men the F word. right? Yeah. Or if you're a Rutgers coach currently, right?
Right.
You know what I mean? Then we're the ones being unkind or name-calling, right?
That's right. We, you know, whenever anybody challenges the status quo and to say, hey, you know what, maybe you're mistreating people, those people will naturally try to retreat into tradition and, you know, the way things have always been, instead of just opening their eyes and minds.
Well, and, you know, you made the analogy. I was saying if you just saw the movie Lincoln not that long ago, this is, people said they weren't bigots that believed in slavery because they said it's in the Bible, right?
Right, right. And it's the way it's always been.
Yeah.
You know, that's just simply, you know, we obviously, science proves that the Negro is less human than the white man.
Right.
And very specifically the white man.
Right.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, this is what you write. You say, oh, how we laugh at the idiots of the past when we watch TV shows and movies that were produced or take place in the past, through the 80s at least, how we shake our heads, most of us, and the men who think a woman's place is in the home. But if you were to tell the men, including politicians and religious leaders who believed in what they saw as a natural order or some such garbage, that they were indeed bigoted fools, they would have said the exact same damn thing that opponents of gay marriage now say. Hey, we're not bigots just because we disagree with you.
Right. And this is what happens in every single issue. And of course, you know, now they'll come out and say, well, you know, obviously, you know, they'll bring out the bestiality argument or the polygamy argument,
right,
or something, you know, tiresome like that, because
listen,
that's the way.
I have to wear no skid shoes. There's so many slippery slope arguments coming in this show every day.
I don't know. I saw you on Courage. You have a gay dog hat, so you've got gay bestiality going.
You do.
It's a gay dog hat.
My hat
gay
is
dog
a slippery
hat.
Slope argument. Yeah.
But there's a anyway. There's that they'll just simply try to equate it with that as a way of trying to justify their bigotry by pointing to things that are worse. You know,
right.
Well, you know, I may believe in slavery, but at least I don't believe in genocide.
Right. What you say, that example could have been for any time one group has asserted agency, be it the right to vote or the right to live without fear of psychotic holes lynching them. The cries of victimization coming from the anti-same-sex marriage camp are ludicrous. The defense is that they're not bigots. They just believe in the Christian definition of marriage.
And slavery.
Right, but exactly. My point about that's exactly how they justified slavery when they argued against interracial marriage, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, interracial marriage and any kind of women's rights, any progression in women's rights. You know, whether it's the Bible and, you know, the woman's supposedly subordinate place to the man as justified
right.
by the Bible, or science that, you know, at the time of women trying to get the right to vote, demonstrating that women have this kind of delicate constitution that makes it so that they can't handle
right.
the stress of voting.
Right. Men started to, we're being gallant. We're not being, you know, we're not being sexist. I mean, that's exactly,
right.
And that's exactly the argument. You go on to say, soaring in madness above them all is Eric Erickson of Red State, who has gone completely monkey insane since he left CNN. He was just tamping it down, apparently,
he
when
was.
He was at CNN.
That had to be why he wanted to leave. It was just bursting out of him. And CNN, they were telling him, you can't go crazy, Eric. You've got to keep the crazy in.
Yes.
And he goes to Fox, and they say, let your freak flag fly.
And now he's burst like a colostomy bag.
He's just letting out his inner Viking.
But as you crystallize the point so well, Rude, you say, here's the question Rude Pundit has. If the government says, okay, we're not going to allow gay marriage because Christian tradition, oh, wait, let's say Judeo-Christian, just to sound briefly open-minded, says it should be for heterosexual couples only, then what's the difference between that and the Sharia law all you right-wingers are afraid of?
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly the point, that I think anything that is less than equality is bigoted, right?
Right.
For whatever the group is.
I mean, again, once the group started asserting the desire for this right, then there became no rational basis to prevent that right from being legalized. And to oppose that right does make you bigoted. And, you know, yes, there are reasons to not legalize polygamy. There are, you know, psychological and other kinds of reasons. Now, they would say, well, you have them for that. But, you know, we have studies that are actually, you know, done by scientists whose studies are not discredited,
yeah.
Which is, you know, people that trot out same-sex couples raising kids studies are often, you know, just trotting out the same discredited studies they've been doing for years.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was talking about yesterday, is that there was a great piece in the LA Times about how, you know, 99% of the psychological or sociologists in the country were shaking their heads at Scalia. They were like, what are you talking about? There's not disagreement about that, or we don't know, or it's some experiment about, you know, gay couples having kids, right?
Oh, and I love the way the right always clings to the one scientist that supports their point, you know,
as if
you know, he or she is this lone rebel just standing there against the tide of big science.
Well, there's 40,000 kids being raised by gay couples here in California. Like, what, they're all in some sort of, you know, gay petri dish or something? It's some sort of, you know, eighth grade science experiment. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Oh, I can't wait till, you know, obviously they'll be hooked on crack and joining gangs. So, you know,
of course.
That's so prevalent in the gay community.
And then I love it at the end. You, of course, do not reach out in an inclusive fashion at all. You basically just boot stomp them at the end. You say, in a few years, dear sweet, dumb conservatives, you will be mocked as fools, not just by mocking liberals who are so very cruel in their mockery, but by the vast, vast majority of young people who think you are, just to use Bill Everwrong Crystal's word, pathetic to have stood in the way of progress. In our pop culture of the future, you will have to sit on the couch while your children and grandchildren laugh at how ridiculously, needlessly cruel you truly were. But yeah, I mean, I just think it's a civil rights battle that has just marched more quickly than a lot of the other ones, right?
Yeah. I would say that it's something that has just sort of reached critical mass, and a lot of that has happened by young people coming of age and realizing that they have power now. You know, this is the first election that I actually look forward to. The 2014 election,
yeah.
I actually look forward to it being about guns and gays.
Yeah, who knows? Those are issues we could win on someday. Hang on one second, Rude. Let's do this. Richard is a Christian who does not like being called a bigot about this. Richard in Illinois. Hey, Richard. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, your guest, I think, is completely wrong. I mean, he could have his opinion, but I don't think he can have his facts. When it comes to Christianity, I think you guys have a right to same-sex marriage. That's your right. But when it comes to Christianity, that's to say that we have to agree to that, that's ludicrous. It's almost idiocy.
What do you mean, agree to it?
That's what you're saying. If we don't agree to it, we're bigots. I mean, that's what you just said. That's what this guy
right,
is
but
saying.
Richard, do you take what Rude's point has been, that Christians used the Bible back in Lincoln's day to justify slavery? If you're saying everything that's in the Bible...
Excuse me. The Christians were the abolitionists as well. So if it's an in-house debate, you guys that are not Christians, stay out of it. You don't see Jehovah's Witnesses.
Right, but why aren't we legislating everything that's in the Bible then? Why isn't all of that social policy? If we should be
you're legislating gay marriage over the Bible. That's what you're just talking about right now.
The Constitution is over the Bible.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes, in your world, my friend.
Richard, can I ask you a quick question? Do you believe that legislation should always take into consideration biblical belief?
No.
No. Okay. Do you believe, now, nobody wants to force any church to perform any ceremony at all, but do you believe
about making our church, my church, a place of bigots? You're trying to put us out of business. That's absolutely persecution. Like the two gay guys.
How are we trying to put you out of business?
I'm saying if you block legislation or if you try to promote legislation that prevents gay couples from getting married, that is bigoted, because you are denying them the civil rights that non-gay couples have. So this is imposing your religious belief on legislation. Now, if your church doesn't want to, then I would. And by the way, I would also offer that yes, this is going to piss you off, but I would offer that yes, your church is bigoted if it doesn't allow for gay marriages. So yeah,
and you're persecuting us.
Go ahead, Richard.
You're persecuting us. That's persecution. That's not discriminating.
Just expressing opinions. We're not. I mean, let me ask your. Let me ask your. I don't know if your what flavor of Christianity you are, but a Detroit area Catholic leader has urged gay marriage supporters to skip communion, and has urged the Catholic Church to deny people who support gay marriage communion. Do you think that's okay?
That's absolutely gospel biblical, and Jesus himself was quoted as saying that a marriage is a man and a woman. I mean, there's not a debate on
no,
that.
No, Jesus never said anything about never. Homosexuality.
And by the way, nobody on the pro-gay marriage side is trying to take away your right to worship in the way you want. In fact, nobody on the pro-gay marriage side is saying you can't step aside, you can't be bigoted, you can belong to a bigoted organization, no matter how huge that and old that
hang
bigoted
on.
Organization.
Richard, go ahead.
And you can belong to a group that wants to persecute us. That's fine. We've been through this for
okay, you have the freedom to practice whatever religion you want. Gays just want the freedom to marry. How is that? Why can't we respect each other's freedoms? I don't get it.
You're talking to a Christian that doesn't have any problem with same-gender marriage. It's a secular thing. It's a civil thing. It doesn't bother me at all. What bothers me is when you have callers or you have guests that come in here and say that this guy on the radio now, your caller, is now a bigot and a hateful person and now is guilty of a hate crime.
Nobody said you're a hateful crime. Person
I
or you're guilty of a hate crime.
I think he needs to get his definitions right.
Yeah.
Persecution is not saying if I say you're a bigot, that's not persecution. That's me putting a label on you. I am not telling you you can't speak your bigoted ideas. I'm not even telling you that you can't belong to groups that believe these kind of bigoted things, be it the KKK or whatever. Right, you can't take rights away from somebody or prevent somebody from having rights.
But
that's persecution.
I don't think you could force a church to do gay marriages if they don't believe in that, though. I mean,
exactly.
But nobody is.
And that's
nobody's
what
he's doing. Right.
It doesn't have to be a religious ceremony. Right. It can be a completely civil ceremony.
He has the freedom to go to his bigoted church, and I have a freedom to wear a big gay dog hat on television.
Well, and I think he got a little sensitive there when he accused us of accusing him of hate crimes. We said nothing of the sort.
Now?
I mean, again, a thought crime is not a hate crime.
Right. I blame Stephanie's hat. It's
a
slippery slope.
I blame my hat, too. All right, goodness, now look what you've done. We can't have nice bigoted callers anymore because of you.
Just littlets. We can't afford bigots now. Just littlets.
All right, love
we
you,
are
Rude.
So showing up on Newsbusters.
Oh,
I know,
my
I know.
God.
Nicely done,
my
sir.
My Newsbusters.
Nicely done. Nicely done. Love you. See you next week.
Bye.
All right, goodbye. 48 minutes after the hour. That was worth going long for.
That's right.
48 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show where dreams come true. You just said.
We've been offered Asa Hutchinson.
Computer says no.
Okay.
Oh, that's a no?
Wow.
I was about ready to book him.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I mean, harsh your buzz there.
Sorry.
This hour brought to you by Big Commerce. Build, manage, grow your business online. For my special offer, go to BigCommerce.com today. Click on the blue headphones at the top left and select my name, Stephanie. Check it out. You got to sell online. If you're not, you're
dumb.
Right? That might be a little over the top.
Okay.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Carol in Maryland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carol. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, I want to say that first off, I am a Christian. And for me personally, homosexuality is not a choice. I couldn't do it myself. But if other people choose to do it, that's their choice.
Right.
And let God be their judge. I'm not their judge. But I do
like Saxby Chambliss said, I'm not gay, so I'm not going to marry one. Which is fine.
Well, Yeah, but I this argument about nothing in the Bible about homosexuality is just wrong, because Romans chapter 1, verse 26 to 28 clearly says that God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged the natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with their lust one for another, men committing shameful acts with other men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And he says, furthermore, he gave them over because they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. So he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what they ought not to do.
Okay, all right, let's I don't need the entire Bible verse, but yes, I'm familiar with that. But I guess, we keep going around these same arguments, Carol, I don't get is there are a lot of things in the Bible. Should we make all of those into social policy? A lot of theologians don't think that was that even that chapter you read is about homosexuality. It's about promiscuity. So I'm not a theologian. I don't want to argue Bible verses all day with you. But I mean, why aren't we executing people that eat seafood or wear two kinds of fabric?
Well, and what my thing is, we need solutions, okay?
Well,
and
the solution but you didn't answer that question. That's what I'm saying. If you're going to, the Bible says it's okay to own slaves. So was it wrong that we abolished slavery in the United States?
Well, I personally don't think one man should own another. But
the Bible says you can.
But these are personal choices. This is what I'm saying. Is everybody?
It's not the personal choice of the slaves.
Right. And it's not a personal choice to be gay. So what's the difference? Why? How do you justify one kind of bigotry and not another?
Well, I think everybody has the right to choose. Okay. As long as they're not harming other people.
I choose not to get paid for my work. Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is the solution's really simple. If marriage is marriage, let it be between a man and a woman. But
I understand people repeat that over and over again. But what do you understand that that's exactly the way we used to talk about black people marrying white people?
Why can't they have civil unions and which entitles?
But that's
they?
Not a marriage. First of all, they. You're talking to one. It's not they.
Yeah,
we're all people. We all want the same rights. How is that? I mean, how is equality bad for you, for instance?
It's not bad for me.
Well, then why are you so against it?
I'm not against it. I think they should be entitled to have the same benefits. Okay, how would you like me to frame it?
All right. Well, listen, I choose to be a CNN slave. I choose to go on CNN for free. Mm-hmm. So that's choosing slavery in that sense, but I didn't choose to be gay.
Everybody has the right to their choices, and they'll be judged when they get to where
I'm good with that. I'm good with that. I will arrive in my big gay dog hat and,
Yeah, I mean, but nobody has the one person's right doesn't usurp the rights of others.
But you're trying to usurp my right to do the same thing. Are you married?
Yes, I'm married.
Well, you're usurping my right to do the same thing. And by that, I don't mean marry your husband. But
I want you to have all the benefits that married couples get.
You just don't want her to be married.
All the same. No, I mean, I think that, why are you trying to...
My parents were married for 40 years. What if it means a lot to me to call it marriage?
Well, I think if you call... My sister's gay,
okay?
My sister's gay. I stood for her at her ceremony, okay?
So, but you just object to the word. You just object to her being able to use the same word.
It's semantics. It's a word.
Okay.
I mean, for crying out loud, why do we have to fight over a word? It's just so idiocracy.
All right, well, let's change the word cabbage, and you can have your cabbage, and I'll have mine then.
Can we do that?
why do you feel like you have to force yourself into...
Never
mind.
All right. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Not according to the Bible. We're not supposed to.
No.
Says
no,
in
stop it.
Verse 8,000, chapter 4.5.
Right. Specifically, people in big gay.
Stop it.
Big gay dog hats.
Okay. Stop it.
6 minutes after the hour. 1-800, oh, by the way.
Is it the hat that's gay or the dogs?
I don't know. Hmm. Who can say? By the way, someone sent me this story. Republican Attorney General, what, that guy in Virginia, Ken Cuccinelli?
Cuccinelli, yeah.
Yes. Oral and anal sex should be crimes against nature in Virginia. Greg says, at least this doesn't discriminate between straight and gay couples. It takes away everyone's fun.
I would like to interview some of Ken Cuccinelli's old girlfriends to see if he's ever broken,
what do you do?
Broken the crimes against humanity.
Don't drink, don't smoke. What do you do?
Uh-huh.
Goody, goody, two-shoes.
I'm sure Ken
Every
Cuccinelli.
Every sex act must end in pregnancy.
Yeah, I'm sure he's done some things that aren't entirely procreative.
Oinks. Really?
Zoinks. Whatever. Okay, 1-800-STEP-12, the
party
phone
over
number.
Here, not over there.
No, not over there for sherzies. Hello. Les in Nevada wants to counterpoint our last caller. Hello, Les.
Good morning. Thank you for letting me share this little nugget. In the 14th chapter of Romans, specifically verse 14.
Oh, boy. I was kidding about Bible talk, but go ahead.
No, but this is very short.
Okay,
really.
All right.
It says, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself.
Right.
Now, but it's very similar, and then it goes on, rather lengthy, I'm not going to go through all, but it goes on to say that we shouldn't hate or discriminate or push out or despise those who feel differently than us, as long as they believe in Jesus and want to do good and are trying to be a good Christian, we should embrace them and welcome their differences.
That sounds very Jesus-y to me.
Well, I was just going to say, I love how these guys, you know, like this lady, God bless her. You know, she's reading the Bible, and that's great. She's reading Romans, which I happen to love.
Yeah, and she seems like a nice person. She just doesn't want me to have her binky. Marriage is her binky.
You got to go on and read it all.
Right, that's right. All right. Stop it. What? We are on TV. People can see you now. All right. Stop it. Rude pundit. I'm always interested in what Wilford Brimley thinks. Stop it. What?
It's the right thing to do.
That's right. Gay marriage is the right thing to do.
We can't bust heads like we used to, but we have our ways.
Oh, you got it.
One trick is to tell them stories that don't go anywhere. Like the time I caught the ferry over to Shelbyville?
All right.
I needed a new heel for my shoe.
All right, we've heard that one. Now,
in Romans 47.5, it says when thou needst an heel for thine shoe.
Do not do the nose whistle.
I can't do a nose whistle. I'm not that old.
No, him.
Oh.
All right. Okay. Rude Pundit has tweeted, because now look what he's done. Now look what he's done on the show this morning.
Yes. He tweeted, yep, I did just say on the Stephanie Miller Show that if you support your church's opposition to gay marriage, you're a bigot. Suck it.
Which you can't do in Virginia.
Put a stick back in that hornet's nest. No. All right. It's a love letter. Looky here.
Aww.
David writes, Steph, with reference to Chris's comment yesterday that the only creature who finds your voice soothing is the dog you recently rescued and expertly placed in a wonderful new home. Thank you.
That's now in a dirt hole with Precious.
No.
She is not. I visited her on Sunday with Felice and Dyro.
Did you visit the basement?
No one has a basement in L.A.
She's having a wonderful time.
Okay.
I and my 6-year-old cockapoo, Tyler, wish to strongly disagree. Ha. Tyler is very active in the morning, but as soon as he hears your voice or I say, Stephanie is on, he jumps on the bed to watch and remains there for the full 3 hours of the show. Oh. I've attached a picture of him with his head hanging off the bed staring at the TV. Hi, Tyler. You're so handsome and romantic. Oh, my gay dogs and I say hello.
What's that crazy bitch doing?
What the hell?
Yeah.
All right, turn this off. I mean, what's going on? What's going on in the morning, Joe? We also listen while driving in the car, where he pays attention to every word you say. I only wish you would listen to me as intently. I'm sure you are happy to know you are very big in the 6-year-old cockapoo demographic, David in Massachusetts. Yeah, we're a little squishy in the 2 to 3-year-old cockapoo area. appreciate it if you could step it up, you younger cockapoos. All right. Oh, give me some Russian music, please. It's interesting. We've been having this. We stumbled once again into the gay marriage debate. Because, as you know, all straight people everywhere have nothing but solid, loving marriages.
That's right.
Russian man who wanted to win his ex-wife back used a homemade bomb to blow her up.
Oh, that's
one way to...
All right.
That's true. It says, I love you.
I love you to pieces.
With an Acme explosive and some exploding birdseed. What?
I said, I love you to pieces.
She's okay now.
Wish I didn't have to say it in Russian.
She's recovered.
Я вас люблю in pieces.
Just saying yet to blowing up your ex-wife. A Russian man who reportedly tricked his ex-wife, this is very Roadrunner, into detonating a homemade explosive device on herself.
Was it exploding birdseed? What?
Says he did so in an effort to foster an atmosphere of reconciliation.
Because that's how you do it.
Or as disintegration.
You do, as you do.
Disintegration.
The woman suffered multiple broken bones. I hope you're happy. And the man claims he set up the ruse in order to win the woman back.
Natasha! I love you,
Peter. What is gift you give?
It's exploding borscht. It's funny, no? Yet, it's not funny.
Yet, it is not funny. Stop laughing. The man claims he set up the ruse in order to win the woman back, hoping the trauma of the incident would lead her to believe that he is her sole protector.
Nicely done, sir.
That's a little
nicely
twisted.
Done, sir.
Wow.
Natasha, who has blown you up?
Oh, I
Boris.
Protect you.
Boris, you're here to protect me.
Boris, why is my burst exploding?
All right. So, Anthony in Maryland, you're on the, in Baltimore, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Well, I guess my question was, one of my questions is, because I just heard you talking, do you think gay marriage is Jesus-like?
Love is Jesus-like,
yes. I think any kind of love is Jesus-like.
Well,
I think
Jesus
that's,
was never
that's mostly
married,
what
so.
He talked about.
I mean, I just don't understand of like how is that Jesus-like when a man's supposed to be with when a man's supposed to be with a woman, it's supposed to be like a woman's supposed to be coming from the rib of man. That's supposed to be like, you know what I mean, like his partner.
And
right, so Jesus talked mostly about love and inclusion.
Yeah, Jesus
didn't, he?
Didn't say anything about ribs. That was the Old Testament.
I guess my main question is like, do you guys think that churches should accept gay marriages and they should, like, as far as Christian
they shouldn't
churches,
be forced to, as Jim said.
Right.
Nobody's forcing churches.
Under government law, though, you should be able to marry the person you love.
I mean, I guess that's okay. I mean, if you want to do whatever you want to do, I mean, I guess that's okay. But, I mean, you got to understand that other people's, like, views, it kind of looks weird.
Weird?
I mean, like, not weird, but I guess just
we shouldn't have,
you know,
equal rights because,
I mean,
it looks weird to some people.
That's, wow.
So, wait, so your main concern is people having the correct amount of ribs to be with each other?
No. But look, mm-hmm. Listen, though. What about this, then, too? Some doctors say that anal sex is not supposed to be
healthy.
No.
Why do you people think
right now
that all gay people do is have sex?
Sure,
a relationship is way more
lesbians
than
sex. Lesbians are really big on anal sex.
Yes. Yeah. It's not okay because he said it. Okay.
Marriage is about creating a life together with the person you love, making a home together, maybe even having kids together.
Blah, blah, blah,
it's
blah.
Not
dirty,
just
dirty,
about
dirty.
Sex.
Dirty, dirty, dirty.
God, I hate when people just
dirty,
assume
dirty,
that.
Dirty, 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 dirty. It's dirty.
Oh, and straight people never have anal sex.
I was
sex.
Just going to say. Yeah. Okay.
Dirty.
Oh my God, he's going back to his Linda Tripp impression.
I know, that was, what, 12 years ago?
Tell me more, Monica. Tell me more about the dirty.
So dirty.
That's the voice we used for Linda Tripp way back when.
Remarkably, she sounded almost exactly like that when we finally got the tapes, remember?
And tell me about the dirty.
And Monica sounded pretty much like your Monica
impression. Oh my God. And I got Linda Tripp, and I realized what else happened. So I'm wearing this blue dress, and oh my God.
Yes. Get me more. I get the touch of energy.
Are we doing Clinton impeachment material?
We are.
What
yeah.
is going on with us today? All right, I think, let's see.
Yeah, Clinton's are in the news again. So.
Yes, there you go, that's why.
Okay. Chelsea's in the news, too.
Right, that's exactly why I did that. Maury in Idaho, the impeachment stuff follow Chelsea's political career. You decide.
Good morning.
Good morning, Maury.
Well, first, I want to say this is not the America that I signed up for. Certainly not when I marched in the 60s and not when I joined the SDS. This is just unbelievable to me. I certainly want, you know, gut checks on people who are buying guns. However, I thought that it verged virtually on political pandering to indicate to that grief-stricken crowd in Connecticut that a background check could have done anything to forestall that tragedy.
What are you talking about? You're talking about, because his mother, because his mother gave him the guns.
Did her denial not kill her? Didn't he do get the guns out of the house?
Right. But, Maury, the point is a lot of these recent tragedies, a background check could have stopped. Virginia Tech, there's a lot of controversy over the Aurora shooter now.
It was at a gun show, because those take place on weekends, and there's no way to run those checks on the weekends.
Right, and that's why we should close the gun show loophole. All right.
You can't stop all gun violence, so we shouldn't try.
We shouldn't try at all. We should facilitate more, as possible. Yes. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, right back. Oh, no, I have to do this first. Is that what I'm doing? Maybe I didn't want to do it there. Maybe. I'm in charge.
Why don't you leave it there?
You know what? Just because you said that, I'm going to do it when I get back.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. 18 minutes after the hour. We're running late. I'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What in the name of holy hell is going on here?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Nasty dog.
Gay 22 minutes after the hour. Right, exactly.
Gay Atomic Dog.
1-800-STEP-1-2. We have Charlie Pierce coming up, bottom of the hour. Armando in New Jersey. Hi, Armando.
Hello?
Hi, Armando. Go ahead.
Well, my point is to the people that I called about gay marriage, if that's not too much trouble.
Yes.
One, that lady, she mentioned a verse. She used the words natural, and that's interesting considering we've already proven that homosexuality is a biological thing, both in nature and in humanity.
That's right.
Which means that verse is completely null and void. And in terms of using the word marriage, that is exactly what everyone wants to do, because the word suggests that everybody is accepted, and that means marriage loving, or the love between homosexuals and the love between heterosexuals, is completely equal. And so it's not just semantics. It goes much deeper than that, and I think that's what a lot of people fail to understand. When they're discussing gay marriage.
Right. Yep, it's all about love. There you go. Mm-hmm. Where is the love?
I think we can conclude from that gay penguins are going to hell.
Right, exactly. That's my point. All right, here's another story about how all straight marriages everywhere are completely perfect.
Okay.
Grandmother arrested for allegedly hiring grandson to murder his own grandfather.
Nice.
Oh!
In part because she was sick of him.
Did they use exploding burst?
No.
Natasha?
Not in Russia, this is in Chicago.
Ah.
Janet Strickland, a beneficiary of her husband's savings.
Of course.
Bought her grandson a car and home furnishings. Also, he bought himself tattoos, gym shoes, and a new phone. Isn't that spectacular? Hey, want to kill Grandpa for an iPhone?
Is Grandpa okay? Do we know this?
No, Grandpa is muerto.
Is muerto?
Yes.
Hmm.
Here's a certificate to Pottery Barn. Go kill Grandpa now. Yikes.
Wow.
Yikes.
And get some tattoos while you're at
it. Yeah.
Yes.
One that says, I killed Grandpa.
I killed Grandpa for this tattoo. Okay.
Grandpa went to heaven and all I got was this lousy tattoo.
What? I sent Grandpa to heaven. Okay. Jerry in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, go ahead.
Good. I just want to say, make a few points. The Constitution is not over the Bible, because that's where the Bible came from. I mean, that's where...
Wait a minute. Hold up now. No, the Constitution did not come from the Bible.
I'm just saying it was inspired from the Bible.
Was not inspired from the Bible.
No.
No.
Okay.
That's where we got separation of church and state.
What is the First Amendment, Jerry?
I'm just saying that I just want to make a couple points.
All right.
I promise you, you can just speak on it. And
well, if your next points are as incorrect as your first point, this is not going to end well.
Okay, I just want to say this, that black and white people marrying is not the same as homosexual rights.
It's also in the Bible that it's wrong.
No, it wasn't wrong.
The Bible says slavery is okay.
It doesn't.
Yes, it
does. What?
It does.
In the Old Testament. The
same. See, slavery here in America wasn't the same in the Bible. Slavery in the Bible was indentured servants. It was more like
No, they were slaves.
Okay.
Jews were slaves.
You understand, our country our founding fathers wanted us to have freedom of and from religions.
But in a sense, you're right. The
founding fathers were deists.
People were enslaved by Egyptians, so you're right, yes. And that was totally wrong, but guess what? God liberated that. That God wasn't cool with that. That's because of man's sin, hatred towards...
God said, I am not cool with that?
You know, the founding fathers weren't necessarily Christians, you know. They were deists.
I'm sorry?
The founding fathers weren't necessarily Christians. Mm-hmm. Most of them were deists.
Certainly Thomas Jefferson.
You know what? Honestly, I as far as the founding fathers, honestly, a lot of them was racist, and they owned slaves, and it was very contradictory.
Right. Exactly.
I agree with you 100% with that. It was crazy. The second thing
is... It was cray-cray,
When you guys were talking about, the lady said, about the sex issue, why homosexuals, you always think that it's just a sex issue. Mm-hmm. Well, that's who you find your identity in.
No.
Is the fact that you say, hey, listen, it's not the fact that I'm a man or a woman, but this is who I desire to have sex with, in your case, love.
Do you define your relationships with women by only sex?
I
think you stunned him. Perhaps the answer is yes.
Yes.
No, well, listen, and let me answer.
So you only look at women as sex objects?
No, of course.
Okay,
not.
Then why do you think men only look at each other? Gay men only look at each other as sex objects.
I'm not saying that you just do, but you're saying that this is who I'm choosing to have sex with. You're not changing anything else about.
Do you choose to have sex with women over men?
Yes, absolutely.
So when we didn't allow interracial marriage,
Well, that was because of bigotry. I mean, there was racist and bigotry. They did not want...
Right, but are you born wanting to have sex with another race, or do you choose it?
Listen, a choice. Everything is a choice.
You seem to be skipping over my question.
That's right. You seem to be ignoring every question we throw at you.
He chooses to ignore your question.
Listen, it is hard to make points that good when you are this drunk, sir, and I would appreciate an answer. It's true. They could have made that argument back then.
That's right.
Are you born wanting to have sex with someone of another race, or do you choose it? Which is it?
We're getting a lot of...
I want that. You can't handle the truth. I want answers! You know what? I'm calling a code red. 29 minutes after the hour.
Calling Charlie Pierce.
Yeah.
Reinforcements.
I'm calling in backup. Charlie Pierce, please report to me. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God!
Stephanie Miller.
The slut!
Which point? 34 minutes after the hour.
Are those
the Go-Go's? 1-800.
Yes, they're pretty much gone.
Yes.
No, they're back.
They're back. Well.
Wow.
I did not know.
1-800-STEP. What is wrong with us today? 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number.
I blame the Bible.
Yeah, I blame Charlie Pierce for everything. There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why's everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Well, I see the lights went out in the chandelier very early today.
Very, very, very early.
What's happening here?
Coco, no, no.
It's North Korea. I blame Kim.
Who I'm not allowed to do anymore, apparently.
By the way, and you're right.
What?
Yeah, I know. I do.
Can you still do the old man?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, he's dead.
Right.
Didn't do him.
Right. People that are offended by imitations of dead North Korean dictators, mm-hmm. perhaps, might object. However, you write your daily North Korea. I certainly believe this requires us to move another battle group to the Western Pacific, perhaps expand our not actually workable missile defense system, a.k.a. Project Rat Hole 1, to cover both Rhode Island and Mars. What the Charlie Pierce? What's going on? I think
thank God for Chris Hayes, because the other night he had this woman on from Columbia, who's an actual expert on North Korea, and she said, please don't fall for all of this nonsense.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, the South Koreans are nervous, and they have a right to be, because they've got 8 bazillion troops right on the border there.
Right.
But this is apparently this guy demonstrating to his, you know, impoverished, bizarre land over which he presides that he's nutty as his father was.
Yeah, as well, Jim was quoting Seth Meyers, look out, middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so, but yeah.
I just wonder what Dennis Rodman said to him, because something snapped.
Right.
Well, maybe he thinks Dennis is representative of all Americans, and he's terrified that, like, tattooed, pierced people are going to come, like, roaring over the border from South Korea.
Someone does need to say, Dennis, what did you do?
It's kind of like being invaded by Hal Sparks' band.
Yeah, pretty much.
We need to have Carmen Electra call him. Dennis, what did you do? Now, you have to keep a good eye on, because obviously we focus a lot on national politics, but you keep a good eye on what's going on in the states. And this may be one of my favorite paragraphs of yours, which is saying something. You say, if I wait long enough and the campaign by Scott Walker, the goggle-eyed homunculus hired by Koch Industries to manage its Midwest subsidiary, formerly known as the state of Wisconsin, to sell off the state piecemeal continues apace, I might be able to get the old Allen Bradley building on the lakefront with its huge clock at a decent number. You say, to the surprise of approximately nobody, Walker has appointed as a first-class corporate hoe to chair the state's most important utility regulatory board. Again, does he think people just aren't going to notice what he's doing?
You know, I think he does know people. I think he knows people are noticing. I think he knows that the people he needs to run for president approve.
Yeah.
The guy's on a winning streak up there. He's getting everything he wants. His popularity rating isn't plunging the way Jindal's is. I mean, it's taken some hits, but it's not terrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he's got a clear field to do everything he wants. And he's managed to stay away in large part from the crazy stuff. Like, you know, establishing a religion in North Carolina, or,
well,
you know, the other stuff that's going on in Tennessee or Kansas.
Well, I keep saying people are trying to out-crazy Kansas, and you mentioned that in here as well.
Yeah, but he's not doing that. What he's doing is selling his state to the corporations.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, while, you know, that's deplorable, certainly, especially given the progressive history, political history that Wisconsin has, it's not as garish. It's not going to get him headlines. I mean, I found this because I'm pathetic and went to school there and read the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no, it's such a history of progressive politics. It is particularly sad, I think.
Yeah. And he's got all the wherewithal that, like, Sam Brownback has in Kansas, but he's not putting through the crazy stuff. He's putting through the, you know, economic oligarchy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's another problem with Rand Paul, one of your other finest pieces, may I say. And we talked last time about the 5-minute rule, which I loved.
Right.
For politicians in the Paul family, the 5-minute rule holds that anything either said by Crazy Uncle Liberty or his sponge-coiffed spleen, Senator Akakuda, will make sense for exactly 5 minutes. At precisely 5:01, they will say something so completely bizatz as to make you doubt your own cognitive capabilities. And this is once again the case, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. My problem with Rand Paul is that is not that he's standing up against the abridgment of our civil liberties by the government. It's just he's going to allow every other institution in our lives to do it very freely,
right?
And tell us it's freedom. I mean, this was based on an LA Times piece that I read
about
there's no privacy or really any free speech left in the American workplace. It's gone. And it certainly isn't in schools anymore. So we're raising a generation of school children and workers who have no concept that their rights, that their civil liberties are anything more than something that inconveniences their teachers or their bosses.
Well, I mean,
you stop exercising the rights then.
Some stuff you point out, I didn't know either. Video cameras and software keeps tabs on worker performance, tracking their computer keystrokes, time spent on each customer service call. And, you know, you make the argument that we're less free than we've ever been.
Yeah, because we're less free because the institutions Rand Paul otherwise applauds are abridging our freedom, and he doesn't have anything. You know, he doesn't, the obvious remedy, which is let's get unionized again, he stands firmly against.
Right. So. Well, I mean, and you make a good point in this unemployment, environment. You say businesses are asking employees to work harder without providing the kinds of rewards, financial and psychological, that were once routine. Employers figure that if some people quit, there are plenty of others looking for jobs.
Yeah, that's actually the LA Times piece, but not me. But, yeah, I mean, obviously that's the big hammer that employers hold over there. And, again, something that could be remedied by a viable or, by a viable, you know, network of organized labor, which we don't have anymore.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, all of it. You talk about work is seeping in off hours. Bosses pepper employees with email messages at night and on weekends. They monitor employees' Facebook pages and Twitter feeds for comments that conflict with the corporate message.
Wow.
Yeah, and I mean, really good point, Charlie, about how
1984.
Rand Paul, to name only one person, believes any attempt to curtail the now habitual private abridgment of our fundamental rights is a threat to liberty. Unions are a threat to liberty. Workplace safety rules a threat to liberty. Don't like the way your boss is prying into your private life? Find another boss to pry into your private life.
Yeah, that's the free market solution, which is to allow the make sure the government doesn't abridge any of your liberties, but make sure that it can subcontract the job to every other institution in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
your free market solution to the Bill of Rights, right there.
Yeah, Charlie Pierce, you make us think, you make us laugh. You are.
Oh, I think
you are splendid, sir.
Oh, and I get the canned applause. It's
you
Chris
do.
I haven't heard of it all.
You get canned radio applause, sir.
Is Chris Lavoie there?
Hi there. Hello.
Oh, there he is. Okay, good.
Yes, I'm
Excellent.
Here.
Yeah, he's good. As I said last week, I'm Facebook friends with Chris, and he keeps putting up beefcake photos, and my wife keeps going, is there something you're telling me?
Is something you're telling me?
Have a lovely day, all.
You
all right,
do the same,
you,
Charlie.
All right, there he goes. Charlie Pierce, everybody.
Hooray.
All right. Mickey in South Dakota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mickey.
Yeah, howdy, everybody.
Hi.
Say, I heard Ralphie May on the Comedy Central the other night, mm-hmm. and I thought he made a great point about the gays and lesbians and stuff. And what he said was anyone who's homophobic, heterosexual, and bigoted, they're all hypocrites because it's the heterosexuals that have us, the gays and the lesbians and the homosexuals. So I thought it was a very good point.
Yeah, exactly. You don't like it? Quit making us.
Yeah.
All right. And now, a story about a dog.
Okay.
Actually, a bunch of... Well, not dogs. What's not great about the story Gawker brings us? Cheap toy poodles purchased in Argentinian bazaar turn out to be ferrets on steroids.
Oh, no!
Don't you hate that?
Oh.
When you buy what you think is a poodle in an Argentinian bazaar and it's a ferret? Don't you hate that?
Damn you, Mark Sanford. Look what you brought.
A man in Argentina was either ripped off or not, depending on your view of paying for a toy poodle and getting a giant ferret instead. An unidentified man who visited La Salada Bazaar in Buenos Aires. What's new, Buenos Aires?
No. Don't make me get that out. I have to find that.
Fake poodles that are actually ferrets. I thought he was getting a bargain on a pair of $1,000 toy poodles, but instead went out with $150 worth of ferret.
It's a poodle.
Known as Brazilian rats, the fluffy white ferrets are pumped full of steroids from birth in order to bulk up their appearance so they can be sold as dogs.
Oh, wow.
Others come forward with similar stories of having purchased purebred chihuahuas only to end up with misshapen rodents and other dog-like animals. The man who was cautionary...
Let's take a bench 800 pounds.
Sure.
If you're
There's
like
that.
Your toy poodle to be able to bench press a Buick,
yeah.
This is for you. The man
why keep a jack in your trunk when you get a flat tire? Just
have a ferret.
Have your ferret bench press your car.
Lift that up.
Yeah.
The man whose cautionary tale triggered the news piece says he had no idea he was in possession of a beefed up ferret until he brought the animal to the vet for shots. Oh, dear. Okay. Here's a helpful tip.
You're not fixing nothing. What are you looking at?
Get your hands off those. Here's a helpful tip for you.
Oh.
They weigh around 3 pounds and have a lifespan of 7 to 10 years. A toy poodle has a long lifespan. They've been known to live up to 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if your pet poodle is still alive after 10 years, congratulations. It's not a ferret.
Okay. Thank you.
Wow. Okay.
And right now I'm looking at a video over here of a cat discovering a mirror and then practicing its jazz paw.
Oh, no. Get it? No. Oh, no, don't try to do spirit fingers. You'll hurt yourself.
Spirit claws.
Lewis in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Lewis.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
Love your show. I watch
Thank
it
you.
Every day
Thank you.
From 9 until 12. Y'all are wonderful.
Eastern time. Thank
yep,
you.
Thank you.
I want to combine two of the topics real quick. First off, I've been in a gay relationship with my partner for 19 years.
Okay.
That's almost as long as a poodle's lifespan.
Now, did you think you were getting a ferret or? Go
ahead. And the other one is gun control. In 2000, I survived an in-home invasion where two men broke into my house, beat me, stabbed me, and raped me.
Jeez.
And left me for dead. But my partner stood by me through the whole thing and has never once batted an eye. My sister, on the other hand, has had a husband that beat her.
Oh, boy.
broke up with her, and I always said to my sister, maybe you need to look to the other side to find the right one, because I know some great lesbians that won't hit you.
I am one. I would like to find a nice lesbian that won't hit you. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by TheraBreath Mouth Wetting Lozenges. Pop a great tasting Mandarin Mint. TheraBreath Lozenges help stop uncomfortable dry mouth fast. TheraBreath Mouth Wetting Lozenges available at Target, Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores. Check it out. Hey, Daily Beast, my new favorite, Jon Favreau. Not that one.
Not Chomsky?
No. Former Obama speechwriter.
Oh, okay.
Wrote a piece about, yes, sequestration is actually bad, that I know people think it's snoozy, and so they don't want to cover it. But at the outset, Washington never treated the sequester with the seriousness it deserves. Much of the political press lost interest in covering the substance of policy debates late last century, so it wasn't too surprising that by February some reporters were bitterly tweeting about how particularly boring they found the sequester business. But he notates all of the really, really bad stuff.
It's bad.
You know, it's the Paul Ryan budget on steroids, brought to you by, Republican men.
I'm Republican man, made a lot of war, all over the world,
yep.
And in every state I restrict the rights of at least 1 million girls. I'm a vaginal pro, waiting for you,
vaginal pro,
down in New Mexico. If you're ever in Alaska, stop and see my ex-governor shoveling snow. All my right-wing friends down in the old South still have crosses to burn. And that roving wave, we just cannot wait to try and overturn. Oh, that separation of church and state. I remember the night when the Carolina legislature tried to sweep you right out of sight. Well, I'm Republican man. Yes, I'm Republican man.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain. For Chicago Sexy Liberal this Saturday.
Yep.
Tickets going very, very fast. I forgot. It's the first time I mentioned it. Sexy Liberal.
Wow.
This Saturday.
Get it.
Get it. Go. Rocky Mountain Mike just trying to get that rock star cheer when he walks in.
He will.
Hey, speaking of Republican men, Representative Paul Braun. Is that his name? Brown. He's a peach. He's a Georgia peach.
Mm-hmm.
Amid a broader critique of Obamacare, he explained he opposes health insurance covering sex change or hair transplant procedures because he personally likes being a boy.
Huh?
I enjoy being a girl. He said, I don't want to pay for a sex change operation, presumably referring to a proposal scrapped by the Obama administration late last month that would have allowed gender confirmation surgeries to be covered under Medicare and Medicaid. I'm not interested. I like being a boy.
That's like saying, I enjoy being cancer-free. Why should I pay for your cancer treatments?
Yes, but the point is they're not covered anyway, and so, anyway. Earlier this year, just in case you forget who this guy is, he took pride in his self-proclaimed status as the first member of the House to call the president a socialist.
Yeah.
There's that. Sure.
Yeah. Well,
he's a member of the
Bernie
House.
Bernie Sanders would disagree.
Yeah.
Last year, he was a member of the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology.
Uh-huh.
As you recall, he referred last year to scientific principles such as evolution and the Big Bang Theory as lies straight from the pit of hell.
Right.
He
and
was
that's
later,
why he's on the science?
He was later reappointed to that very same committee.
What?
The science committee. That guy is. Hmm. Okay, then. Byron in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Byron.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hello. Go ahead.
Hello. Oh, I was just... we want to make a comment on the biblical
imperative, if you will.
Yes.
You can, when somebody starts quoting chapter and verse to justify their position, it's like, you can, justify anything, I think.
Yeah, with the Bible. And people have. Yep, they have used it to justify all sorts of horrible things.
They've used it as a cudgel.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Do you think you get paid extra for big words? Or
I don't know. Okay. I just like all using right. that word.
Okay,
it's a cool
good.
Word.
Nicely done, sir.
Thank you.
All right.
It sounds like what it does.
Yeah. Cudgel, cudgel.
Okay. The president, as I said earlier, I thought was spectacular yesterday, impassioned, mm-hmm. talking about gun control. The president's press secretary yesterday, Jay Carney.
A substantial number of purchases of weapons are achieved without background checks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So trying to even get that done now, as president said, this should not be a heavy lift.
Right.
Senator Harry Reid yesterday.
90% of Americans believe we should do something. And I get a letter from a group of Republicans saying, don't touch it. We don't want anything to do with it. That flies in the face of what 90% of Americans want.
Yep. Screw them. Who cares about them? It's just 90%.
God. And
what?
Pointing out that some Senate GOPers will not
Many
even...
Senate Republicans seem afraid to even engage in this debate. Shame on them.
Yeah, is it Ted Cruz that's threatening to filibuster even debating this?
Yeah.
Even talking about gun violence. Mark Barden is a Newtown victim's father. Mm-hmm. You may have seen him. This was on 60 Minutes.
Mental health, brain health is paramount. It's just as important as everything else. It's just at this particular time, the focus on legislation is about the gun part of the issue.
Yeah, we do need to do something about every part of it, and even this first piece we're having trouble with, David Wheeler.
Every time, you know, it's somebody else's school, it's somebody else's town, it's somebody else's community, until one day you wake up, and it's not.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and how many more of these do we need, as we say over and over again? Asa Hutchinson, who we've been offered as a guest?
Yes.
Computer says no.
That went into the circular file.
Right.
Whether it's mental health concerns that we can do better on, or whether it is providing more safety for our children in schools, very little has been done. And so I'm disappointed the president has not focused the debate on the right issue for America.
Oh, yeah. The president's done it wrong. Yes, I understand.
Disappointed!
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because you're fighting to do absolutely nothing about any part of the gun part of it.
Status quo ante.
Yeah. But disappointed in the president, sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, Kelly in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kelly, welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Boy, you've had such a circus going on there today.
Right?
I don't even know where to start now. The one gentleman that called in earlier who thought that gay sex was icky. I'm sorry, I'm 55 years old. I've been a lesbian all my life.
So you're
I've
good
never
at
been
it.
Attracted. I'm a pro.
Right.
Well, I'm single now, but
all right.
When I was in, I've been in two long-term relationships. My last partner passed away in 2007. In both of these relationships, we traveled. We had pets. One, you know, my first partner, we went to England, we went to Colorado. We had such a normal life.
Yep.
And sex was never, I thank you guys for telling him and correcting him, being gay or lesbian has nothing to do with sex.
There you go.
Yep.
All right. It's more about pets. All right. I'm just saying.
Gay pets.
Right. That's why I'm wearing this hat today. 58 minutes after the hour. Back with Michael McDonald next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
No, it's kind of hot, actually. Ow.
Oh, yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Michael McDonald, how cute is he? He was like, there was silence before we went on the air. He's like, what's happening? We're giving you time to get in character, Michael McDonald.
Thank you.
Actor, comedian extraordinaire. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, m'lady. And that word goes all around the room to whoever will accept it.
Thank you.
So cute. So we were just talking about you. These the trailers for this new movie you're in look great. The Heat,
yes.
Starring Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy.
Yes.
Directed by the guy that directed Bridesmaids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No slouch, Paul Feig.
Okay, mm-hmm. There you go. So what? Tell us about it.
It comes out June 28th, I believe. And it's a movie about Melissa and Sandy. That's what you call her when you've met her.
I love Sandra Bullock.
You should. She's really, really nice girl. I knew Melissa from before, from the Groundlings, so I knew that was going in,
oh,
that she was going to be great.
Oh, she was Groundling. Okay.
Yeah. And then they play these sort of mismatched cops, or actually Sandy's from the FBI, and they try and take down bad drug cartel. And I spend the movie trying to kill them.
I like, oh,
nice.
Yeah. You're the bad guy.
I'm one of the bad guys, yeah.
You're too cute to play the bad guy. It's only because you're such a good actor.
I'm like a model with a badass. I'm kidding. <No.
laughs> I love it because that was the plot of Miss Congeniality. She was an FBI agent.
Yes.
Love it.
But this one's actually very different. It's very, it's kind of stylized. It's got great music in it, like kind of 70s.
Wow.
Almost, funk kind of music, and it looks great. It's really funny, and there's lots of action in it, too.
Awesome. And you've been on the road all the time. You're going to Gotham Comedy Club?
I'll be in New York
this
weekend, at Gotham Comedy Club Friday and Saturday night, and doing some stand-up.
And then Washington, D.C., the Improv?
Yes, yes.
After that?
That's the 25th, 26th, 27th.
And what do you talk about in your stand-up?
Well, you know, I know this is a political show, and so I have jokes about flat taxes that are hilarious.
As you do.
No, my stuff is mostly...
Do you have a whole sequestration chunk?
Oh, it's the character work in that. I kind of just use stuff about everyday life and, you know, growing up with a crazy but delightful, fun mom. Talk about Mad TV, all that stuff, and you know anything. Yeah. If something goes bad, like if this interview goes south, you guys might find yourselves in the act in a week. I don't know. No, I don't know.
We have never gone south here on the Stephanie.
You don't, show, Stephanie. No. I have a question.
Yes.
Do you go south? These are just directions
now
I'm asking
south.
About.
Now we're going south. We, I don't know how, Chris, how did this start? I don't know. We started a
rainstorm
early this morning. Oh, because Ruth Pundit said that he has a piece about that you are a bigot if you're against gay marriage. If you're a Christian, you're a bigot. And then he told people to suck it.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's been
on Twitter.
It's been a morning.
I heard. I heard it was when I was listening to some of it, and then of course when you get into the downtown parking structure,
you lose
the signal. But I heard it was a little fiery.
Yeah, there was a little rigmarole.
Right. Well, because you know we were just saying that people have used the Bible throughout the ages to justify bigotry, starting with slavery. And said, oh, I'm not a bigot, it's just what the Bible says.
Right. And I come from a family of staunch Catholics, so I know that argument well. I'm against gay marriage just for me.
Right. Right. Just because of fear of commitment.
That's the only excuse I've got.
I wish I could, but
it's illegal. Oh, darn.
If it didn't slow the people out so much, I would, honey.
Those people. Oh, well. Anyway,
Chris,
let's go have a margarita.
Right away, Ms. Miller.
Thank you. I mentioned this story. Detroit area Catholic leaders are urging gay marriage supporters to skip communion. A Detroit professor and legal advisor to the Vatican says Catholics who promote gay marriage should not try to receive Holy Communion. And the Archbishop of Detroit said Sunday Catholics who receive communion while advocating gay marriage, which logically brings shame for double dealing, that is not unlike perjury.
What?
Huh?
Well, I guess because I would assume, now I'm like taking on my parents, that if you are a Catholic, then you have to subscribe to those things, and then if you take communion, you're in effect saying I subscribe to
the
hard line,
the
and therefore
right.
Here's the good news:
what?
communion would be so speedy because there would be hardly anyone that would qualify, right?
I would think so.
Pretty much everyone probably breaking some church rule or another. I'm just saying it'd only be like one or two people.
But that's what confession is for. Can't you just confess that you're a gay marriage supporter every week, and then you get a free pass?
And then
I couldn't agree more. Like I actually think
you
that,
do it just for the wafer.
Yeah, I mean, because that's no matter what your faith is, but Catholic faith is what they do have that's great, I think, is confession. You do something wrong,
right?
admit to it.
Exactly.
But that would be apologize. Perjury.
I'm sorry,
you would
Father.
Know.
I started World War II and killed a lot of people.
Oh, Jim.
He was Catholic. Winston Churchill, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Got it. I'm going to, by the way, I'm just now going to guess all of your
yes.
things. I'm going to do it wrong on purpose.
You played guess the quote just as well as Jim does.
Never.
Guess the impression.
Yeah.
Grover Cleveland. No.
No.
No, that would be perjury, though, because you would be confessing falsely because you would know that you're still going to be for marriage equality next week.
You'd not if
like,
you're really indecisive.
Yeah.
Like, I really mean it this time.
I'm a Libra. I'm like, last week I thought I meant it. I changed my mind.
Oopsie. My bad.
Anyway, the Peters did not specify a Catholic politician or public figure in his post, but he told the Free Press that a person's public efforts to change society's definition of marriage amount to objectively wrong actions. And he has said before that liberal Catholic Democrats like Nancy Pelosi or Andrew Cuomo should be denied communion because of their statements and positions.
Hmm. Wow.
I'm just saying, that seems kind of bigoty to me.
Bigoty? Bigot adjacent?
Bigoty Jew?
Bigot is, yeah.
I was, speaking of, I was on CNN yesterday talking about
You were
this.
On Erin Burnett.
Right.
Ooh,
not
hey
in a gay way.
Too bad.
I will be on her again today also, not in a gay way, and then the next
Is she
Wednesday
nice? She
Thursday.
Seems pretty. I mean, is she nice? She seems pretty. Is she pretty?
Shallow.
She seems nice. That's what
so
I meant.
Shallow in Hollywood. I don't know. She's in New York. I'm on satellite.
Oh, all right.
Yes, she seems delightful. Anyway, we were talking about this former Rutgers athletic director, Tim Pernetti, is getting $1.2 million in salary, plus an iPad, a car allowance, and more than 2 years of health insurance coverage under a settlement agreement. That's taxpayer money.
Yeah.
Yeah. That he gets paid. He resigned after this video was made public.
Throwing things
right.
at people. And
no, he's the athletic director. He only suspended that
He was
guy.
The hire. He was like right. the...
And yeah. I was saying, first of all, not only is it this, you know, these homophobic slurs at a place where a gay kid killed himself at Rutgers, but, yeah, the fact that these are these, like, fiscal conservatives and this is taxpayer money that they're using to pay this guy off, basically. He gets the... Oh, by the way, he gets the money even if he takes another job.
That's right.
How do I get that deal?
Yeah.
Throw a basketball at somebody's head.
Yes. Is that what I got to do? Yeah. I got to misbehave more.
Right. Rice himself was fired last week.
Use more slurs, apparently.
I don't get this part. Rice was fired last week, not for cause. How is that not cause? Because first of all, we were saying it's assault. Before you even get to the homophobic slurs, how is whipping a basketball at someone's head not
That's
assault?
Is it? I don't know. Isn't that what happens in the game, though? The ball goes flying around? I don't know.
Well, who am I? That's accidental. If you're whipping a ball at someone's head...
I concede, Your Honor.
That's against the rules.
That is against the rules.
You know what? Everything you said is going to be stricken from the record.
But what if I just provide my best attempt at being devil's advocate the whole day? And
then you'll just
and
be
then
irritating.
Just concede.
Rice was fired not for cause, meaning under his contract.
Devil's advocate. No, I'm not.
What does that mean? I actually don't understand the concept of not for cause.
Right. He's in line to be paid over $1 million or 75% of his remaining salary plus a $100,000 bonus for staying on the job through the 2012.
So if he would have been fired for cause, like if he'd killed someone or something,
how is
then
he
would have gotten
billion
bonuses.
Dollars.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. All right.
I can start throwing basketballs at people's heads.
Let's take Jaina in Kentucky. You're on with Michael. Hi, Jaina.
Hi, Stephanie Miller. Hi. You got to say hi to my husband, Dana. He's become a big fan.
Hi, Dana.
He's not a puppy.
No, he's a husband. But he kinda
Dana,
likes
have
the
you
dog.
Seen the new video of the kitty that's looking at himself in the mirror doing jazz hands?
No, I haven't seen
right,
it yet.
Look.
But,
that was Stephanie watched that on Friday night.
I just wanted to tell everybody that keeps arguing about marriage, what marriage is.
Yeah.
Marriage is a way of people keeping their goodies. Now, whether your goodies are your virginity or your love or your heart or your money, if somebody wants your goodies, then they're going to have to sign a contract and they're going to have to make an admission to everybody they know and a promise to you that, you know, they're going to stay with you after they get your goodies. And that's what a marriage is. It's a legal contract and it's a moral contract. But you can't just, people can't go sticking the Bible in that because not everybody follows the Bible
That's
in this
right.
country.
That's exactly right. It's all about the goodies. It's the country.
I'm never going to refer to anything I have as anything again other than my goodies.
My goodies.
No matter what.
Would you like to see
Would
my goodies?
Like to...
That's why I wore this raincoat.
Where did I leave my goodies?
I don't know. All right. What I had another thought, and it went entirely, it just magically went away. I don't remember now.
Are you okay? Brain-related event?
I'm fine. I am fine.
Don't help me.
Nobody touch me. Let's go to Kelly in West Virginia. You're on with Michael. Hi, Kelly.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I'm getting ready to take a vacation, and here I am packing and getting ready this morning, and this nut Richard calls in, and then the Bible lady calls in. But Richard's the one that really got me. He said that gays are persecuting Christians.
Right. We're trying to drive his church out of business. Apparently.
Well, you know, the Mormons have been persecuting homos since Joseph Smith decided to marry 23 women.
That's right on the church, I think.
The Mormons tabernacle.
Persecuting homos since 1837. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, we continue with actor, comedian extraordinaire Michael McDonald live in studio on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It even vibrates like real.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. The comedian extraordinaire Michael McDonald, who you can see at the Gotham Comedy Club in New York City this weekend.
This very weekend, Friday and Saturday. Yes.
Live. In the new Sandy Bullock movie. I call her Sandy because we're friends.
You could play her sister.
Oh, thank you.
Her much older sister.
And Melissa McCarthy in new movie with Michael McDonald called The Heat.
Yes.
Which will be opening June 28th.
The trailers of which are hysterical. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. I get hit in the face with a phone book in one of them, I think.
And how many takes do that take?
Can we do that to you here? Can we do that to you?
I don't think
here?
We have a phone book. Do they make phone books?
They keep putting them on my porch. I don't know why, because I never use them anymore.
The poor phone book company.
Yeah.
The way of the horse whip.
And all those poor yellow trees.
It's sort of sad when you find it in your driveway, just the amount of time it takes to get it from your driveway to the garbage
can. No, it's
Thank
so sad.
Just throw it right in the recycling
just
bin.
Just throw it in the garbage can.
How sad would it be to be the phone book delivery person knowing everything I'm doing is pointless? Everything.
I just look at my shoulder.
My life has no meaning.
That
is a bad job. You're absolutely right, Michael McDonald. It's those kind of keen impressions you can see this weekend at the Gotham Comedy Club in New York City.
Yeah.
Keen
observations.
Observations is what I meant to say.
How long have you guys been fighting over words?
Oh, for 8.5 years now.
This show is like a really hostile words with friends. That's what it is.
It's
every
just
morning.
A few words. May I have a few words, a word with you?
We have words every morning.
Yeah.
Joe in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Flurry. Show.
There's a word.
Yeah, there you go. Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's going on? I just wanted to tell you that when you're in Chicago, it's going to be the 1 year anniversary of Ted Nugent's famous Dead or in Jail.
Yeah,
so he said,
that's right.
By this time next year, I'll be dead or in jail. So, you have a lot to celebrate when you're in Chicago.
Yes, I will be at the Chicago Theater celebrating that very moment. We're waiting. We're waiting, Ted.
What's it going to be, Ted?
Yeah, which is going to be?
Pick your poison.
Well-known Southern belle Lindsey Graham became the first prominent Republican to praise the budget proposal the White House outlined last week. The president is showing a little bit of leg here.
Okay.
So Lindsey Graham in a very odd
turn of phrase.
This is somewhat encouraging. Yes, that was an odd turn of phrase. He said his overall budget's not going to make it, but he sort of made a step forward in the entitlement reform process that would allow a guy like me to begin talking about flattening the tax code and generating more revenue.
Great.
President's showing a little leg, and mm-hmm. he'd like a little more. He'd like to see Garter. He'd like to see it.
The Southerners always have a way of putting things, I think, in a way that makes you think, and I like that.
Right.
I know what it makes me think. I was in the South. I was in Jacksonville, Florida, which is really the South, as they will tell you.
Right.
And I opened the door for a woman, and she said, well, aren't you sweet enough to kill a diabetic? And I thought,
wow.
I didn't know if she was being mean or if she was like, you know what, that's pretty sweet. All right, I'll take it.
Yeah. Complimenting herself. Right.
That's like when they say bless her heart. Oh, they bless that means heart. You're a little really condescending way. Yeah.
Yeah, like you're slow or even or slower than slow. I don't want to say the word, but
you know what I mean.
I know what you
mean. Nice way.
Like if your brain was an engine, somebody put a brake on it. They're putting the brakes on you, baby.
Bless
I don't know who
heart.
That was. Bless your heart.
Oh, bless your heart.
Karen in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Michael. Hi, Karen. Hello, Karen.
Hello.
Karen.
Hi.
Oh, hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Great. I listen to your show on TV and your radio show, and I just wanted to say that I'm going to be attending the Sexy Liberal, my second.
Oh, my gosh.
Show this Saturday.
Oh my God, I can't wait. I cannot wait.
No. And hopefully I wear hearing aids, so hopefully I'll be up close enough I'll be able to catch everything.
All right. Okay, good. Some of it you don't want to hear. But Karen, we'll see you there.
But if you know, Karen, just know it's totally acceptable within the show to if you didn't hear it to just say what?
Yes. Really loud. Particularly if I'm in the middle of my next thought.
Like hard of hearing Darth Vader.
What? What?
Have you seen that bit?
No.
On YouTube? Hard of hearing Darth Vader. We'll pull it up for you.
Yeah. So silly that we just can't. Well, now the cat in the mirror has replaced it in our affection. Because it does look like the Saturday Night Live sketch. I know you. I know you.
Hey, you. I know you.
He's pointing at himself in the mirror. It's funny. Okay. Chelsea Clinton has said she would consider running for public office herself if the opportunity. Cool. We could have a whole...
And Jeb Bush is now talking like, I guess we can only choose one or the other. It's a Bush or a Clinton for the next, for the rest of our lives.
Chelsea Clinton may run against one of the little brown ones, as George Sr. called his grandchildren.
There they are, little brown ones. Those are mine.
In a way, I guess that he thought sounded inclusive.
Whatever.
She talked about it. Everybody seems to be like foregone conclusion that Hillary's going to run. What do you think?
I think she probably will. I mean, I don't think she's going to be able to close her eyes for the last time until she's been president. You know,
that's
what I mean?
True.
That's the way my mom would put it. Like, that's like they don't like to talk about death or whatever.
Close her eyes.
Why don't she close her eyes for the last time? Why not? Why not?
That's charming.
She wants it.
Yes.
She wants it bad.
Yeah.
Stacy in Pittsburgh, you're on with Michael. Hello, Stacy.
Yes. Hi, I'm here.
Hi, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I've been waiting. I've been trying that. Like 36 minutes I was on hold, but I'm happy to be here.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Real quick, two quick compliments before I start. I love Atomic Dog. Earlier, I was jamming. Jamming to Atomic Dog. And the other thing I want to tell you, you're beautiful.
Oh,
you're just,
thank you.
You are.
She is beautiful.
Thank you.
I wanted to bring up, and here's a couple very, very simple points that nobody's pointed out, okay? I recently, I'm a newlywed, and I'm a widow at the same time.
Oh,
okay?
I'm sorry.
And I was greatly criticized because I married somebody who was 20 years older than me. And even just for that difference, that simple difference of us being, you know, him being 20 years older, I was criticized. I was called a gold digger. And you know what? And he was the love of my life. He was my soulmate.
Aww.
Okay? Love is love. Now, look at, and I know these are movies, but, okay, look, Beauty and the Beast. She fell in love with an animal. Look at Avatar. He fell in love with a blue freaking
thing. Right, a blue thing. A blue thing. And people find that icky. Those are all very good points, and we appreciate it. And that was worth 36 minutes on hold, I think. People that marry blue things are icky. I think we can all agree on that.
Well, doesn't say much for Blue Man Group.
Listen, and I've seen Ron Perlman at the gym, and I'm on the fence about that. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
From the moment she opened her mouth, I wanted to sublet her tongue, move into her larynx, and redo the upper incisors in mauve. Well, not exactly mauve, but mauve-ish.
Duckman, right?
Yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. No matter how many times I say it, it's still really exciting. Director Gary Marshall is with us. Good morning, cool. Director Gary Marshall.
How are you? It's me. I'm here. Good morning.
How have you been, sir?
Very well, thank you. Still going on here.
You have a fabulous new play coming up at the Falcon Theater in right here in beautiful downtown Burbank, California.
Yes.
Toluca Lake.
Right down the street.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Down the street from Bobby Big Boy.
Yeah. All right. We've got MapQuest, Gary.
I have MapQuest. Well, you know it's that.
Michael McDonald is here with us, being a Weisenheimer, so I apologize.
Hi, Gary. I'd like to be in any of your projects at any point, including.
Okay, I'll keep it in mind.
Wow, that sounded like a no.
Yeah. I feel you already going in another direction.
Well, you like theater. We're live at the Falcon. You know, there's no cut. You got to act. So if you're ready, we'll see what happens. But we got a good one now.
Yeah, the gauntlet has been thrown, Sonny.
Well, what's the play about, Mr. Marshall?
Well, you can say Gary. It's early.
When do you become Mr. Marshall? At noon?
Well, like 5:36.
Got it. Cocktail hour.
It's okay.
Well, auditions for his next film, that's good.
Billy Wilder. You remember Billy Wilder?
Yeah.
I'm not old.
Stop it. All right. It's Billy and Ray is the name of the story. It actually sounds hilarious. Tell us about it.
Well, it's funny, but it's also historical. It's changed the movie industry, which I happen to be in at the moment. There was a censorship, and then came a new form of film called film noir, which is dark films. I am known for film blanc because I do Happy Days. But I wanted to delve into that, and it's about Billy Wilder, a wonderful director, and a wonderful writer named Raymond Chandler, mm-hmm. thus the name Billy and Ray instead of Herschel and Harry. Billy and Ray, and they were the first ones to write a wonderful picture called Double Indemnity.
Right. Mm.
Right.
Old, young for that. Double Indemnity was a big changer. And that's what it's about, and it's funny, and think it's well done, and I got to direct it, which was exciting for me after.
It's described as they invented film noir and nearly killed each other in the process. There was a little bit of creative friction, was there?
Well, they did not get along at all. Billy was volatile and yelling and screaming, and Raymond was drinking quietly. So they had a thing. But I have, I'm used to that conflict in a way. I did a show called Art Couple that had a lot of the same yelling. But this is done in a much more erudite way and much more about the history of film in Hollywood.
It's like Fox News, but funny. A lot of yelling, but with humor.
Well, who knows?
And
there's
quiet
no
drinking.
Politics, but there's humor. Yelling, but funny, yes.
What are you implying about Bill O'Reilly? Gary Marshall, you have some of the most hilarious stories from your film career. The one that always sticks in my mind is that Julia Roberts on Pretty Woman. You had.
I remember her. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Nice kid.
But that she was did not eat enough, and you fed her like a little kitty, like a can of tuna. To keep her...
Well, I'm not a kitty. She's a lovely girl. No, she, young girls, they're busy, they don't eat. So I always carry... I actually carry cans of tuna on me. We ended up, I fed her tuna about 3-4 in the morning, where it was an exhausting day. But she was... liked an avocado and tuna, and this is what got her through. We had a tough time, and lo and behold... turns out she acted very well.
It's a magic secret. I just picture you walking down the street and your pants jangling with tuna cans in them. Like a hobo.
It's you always ask an actress or an actress or what, if they're feeling faint, you say, what'd you eat today? And she said, part of an avocado. I said, well, if you would eat the whole thing, you wouldn't be fainting. So here's tuna fish. You must help stars through the other part of life.
Gary, it's always a pleasure. The place sounds terrific. I'm going to go. It's right. It's like moments away from here. It's called Billy and Ray at the Falcon Theater here in Burbank. We have a link up on our Facebook page.
Toluca Lake.
Right.
And Toluca Lake, Burbank. But remember, don't let them try to charge it. There's free parking.
That's right.
But apparently there's somebody faking it and saying, give me some money. That, by the way, is me, Gary.
Well, you can come there, but we have a guy who says come in free. So that's, you know, the Falcon Theater likes to combine art and parking, which is a good thing to have in this neighborhood.
Which we love in L.A. Gary, always a pleasure. Talk to you again real soon.
Thank you. Thank you for talking to me.
All right, thanks. All right, you too.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
You want to see the play? Of course you.
He's a legend.
$1,000
to park. Can we pay in cans of tuna? Who wonders? All right. Tim Johnson, Senator Tim Johnson of South Dakota, has announced Monday he now backs gay marriage, the theme of the morning. Become the latest in a wave of Senate Democrats. Only three Democratic senators now do not back gay marriage. He said, after lengthy consideration, my views have evolved sufficiently to support marriage equality legislation. This position doesn't require any religious denomination to alter any of its tenets. Mm-hmm. Right-wing caller from earlier. It simply forbids the government from discrimination regarding who can marry whom. So there. So he joins a bunch of Democratic senators from red states. The three remaining, and we are waiting, is Mark Pryor of Arkansas, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, and Mary Landrieu of Louisiana. She, by the way, she suggested in a recent interview she does support gay marriage, but because her state has a law forbidding it, she feels compelled to uphold that.
Wow, that's courageous.
Because I live in a state with a bunch of bigots, I just decided to know about the bigots.
All right, nothing to do with that.
Well, she is up for re-election very soon
in
a red state. So,
Rhode Island to vote on marriage equality by the end of April, by April 21st.
That's right.
Go Rhode Island, you teeny, delightful little state. Do it.
And Maryland yesterday, the General Assembly approved medical marijuana, and the governor has indicated that he will probably sign it. So go Maryland.
I'll probably sign it. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I'm a little high right now.
I need it because I got guacamole. No, what's the thing with your eye? Ooh, guacamole.
Wow. In Washington State, they passed marijuana and the gay marriage at the same time,
they
right?
They did, yes.
Right? And somebody said that gave a whole new meaning to the two men lay together shall be stoned.
Good one.
Waka,
waka, waka.
Right.
That was prophetic.
Ripa in Memphis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Michael. Go ahead.
Hey, what's good? How you doing, Stephanie?
Good.
What's going on, everybody? Everybody all right?
Yes, go ahead.
All right, long time listener. I just want to say that I am a severely progressive liberal, and in case you didn't know, I love fried chicken, watermelon, and Barack Obama.
Who doesn't?
I am black.
Are you from France?
No, that's Beldar.
Occasionally, I'm black and proud. Occasionally say it loud and all that good stuff.
Right.
But I just wanted to, I've been listening to the show, and I'm hearing a lot of ignorant talk from people who are descended from, like myself, descended from people who at one point in time were considered three-fifths human.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I don't understand how someone, a person of color, a black person, this is real, could justify, you know, bigotry by being against marriage equality, because, again, it took an amendment, you know, that old piece of paper, it took an amendment, the 14th, that is, to make us fully human again.
Yeah.
And when you talk about the Loving versus Virginia case, and people who say, well, that's nothing, it's not the same, it is, because at the time,
no,
Virginia back in...
Right, Rippy, you could almost take out arguments and replace just words in any of the things you're talking about. Slavery, interracial marriage.
Exactly.
You could,
exactly, because in Virginia at the time, interracial marriage, it wasn't just interracial marriage. It was just forbidden that black and white people cannot get married. You could be like Asian or whomever or any other minority and marry somebody white.
That's right. That's right.
That's what it was.
Yep.
So equal protection under the law, that's all that matters. So, hey,
Thank you
said, man, there's no other way to justify, there's no good solid argument other than admitting your own bigotry when it comes to opposing gay marriage.
That's all
I got.
Thank you. You are, and peace out. All right. That was spectacular,
okay,
I thought. How are you dealing with the death of Annette Funicello?
It made me sad.
It did. It kind of made me sad, too.
I, Did you like the Beach Party movies?
I am very young, as you know. I can remember actually seeing the Mickey Mouse Club on reruns on Black Light TV and stuff like that. And she just always seemed like a really nice lady in every interview I ever saw of her.
And the Skippy commercials that she did.
Got to know her first.
Yeah. Muscle Beach Party, Pajama Party, and Beach Blanket Bingo. I'm going to guess you like Muscle Beach Party. I don't mean to paint with a broad brush.
No, you can paint away. Why not? Muscle Beach Party sounds like an excellent film.
Yes. In the Annette Funicello era.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you were a Moondoggy aficionado.
I don't know who that is, but...
I guess I am old.
You are old, Steph.
I can't believe you just barked, "I'm not old," at Gary Marshall. That was very bad form,
I always
sir.
Feel like it's important to insult a guest when they... Of course I have. You know, I wanted Gary to feel like that's a very New York thing to do. You know, you give each other a little come on. That's all I got.
All right. That's okay. What do I mean by that?
I have no idea.
45 minutes after the hour, it's only going to get weirder. For the closing segment with Michael McDonald live on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, Michael McDonald, you are a scamp. He said, can we fight in this segment? Go! Go, friend. Break off a bottle and go! 50 minutes, now people are going to know we're faking it. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, Chris in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Michael. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I'm sorry, this is a generic thing, how you doing? But anyway, I know you well, and I know, go ahead. So what I wanted to do is try to take a little time to explain what I thought Richard was talking about. And as a Christian, I believe along the same lines as him. However, I don't believe about the whole discrimination thing. But anyway, what I think Richard was trying to point at was my understanding of what he said was he was concerned that we're trying to redefine Christianity because of accepting homosexuality. That's what I thought he was trying to say.
Right. And, but some people some people don't.
Go ahead.
I said some Christians don't feel that homosexuality is wrong.
Oh, I understand. I know Christians that are homosexuals, and
oh
I myself
God.
Don't have any issues
is
with
legal?
Homosexuals or them even being called, dare I say, married. You know, but I mean, the religion, the faith of Christianity, doesn't teach that it's right. However, the faith, like you guys always say, is supposed to be Christ-like. Which is accepting of all and loving of all and all that, which is what I believe.
Right.
So I don't believe that we can force any rules or regulations on the masses of the population.
But you get that a lot of
beliefs.
Right. But you get that a lot of gay people don't seek to be tolerated. They don't, you know what I'm saying?
That's kind of insulting.
Well, I'm not saying we should tolerate it. I'm just saying we accept them. I mean we're supposed to accept people for their sin struggle. Or, you know, I mean, some people say it's sincere, some people say it's a choice. Myself, I believe that homosexuality began in the Old Testament when the angels came down and started having sex with the humans, as what the Bible says. And, I mean, I know...
I think it was with Dodgers, actually.
...will probably disagree with me. And it'll be...
All right.
I'm trying to speak fast.
All right. I can't get enough of the angel rape stories. as Hal Sparks says in Sexy Liberal, you're like a 10-foot-tall light emanating being. Can't you just, like, levitate? Could you avoid
hey,
that?
Hey, stop that. What are you doing?
Hey.
No means no.
Hit you with my wing. Okay. All right. So we were talking about Annette Funicello. Margaret Thatcher, obviously, also passed away this week. David Cameron, Prime Minister.
And the real thing about Margaret Thatcher is that she didn't just lead our country, she saved our country. And I believe she'll go down as the greatest British peacetime Prime Minister.
Don't tell that the former coal miners in the north.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I blame Meryl Streep because she makes everybody seem sympathetic.
Well, I just went to England for New Year's, so I know everything about England now.
Right.
And they have excellent Chinese food.
Well,
and
good.
I don't think you know that.
And
Indian
you.
Food.
Well, now
Indian
I do.
Indian food.
Mm-hmm.
They have excellent everything now.
Yeah,
apparently
yeah.
you can
the
just. Yeah, they're planes and people can who can do it right. Can
so you can't
it.
Do English bad food jokes anymore? They do not apply.
I wouldn't.
All right.
I wouldn't.
I,
if you if accuracy is important
well.
In your work.
I'm just taking out a whole chunk from my Chicago set.
Just taking out the bangers and mash reference?
Yep.
Okay.
Taking that all out of the Chicago set.
Oh, dear. We've had some steak and kidney pie, which was a bit off. We are in a desperate state.
I love it. That is
the queen
Italian.
Jokes.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. The king of Italy. Got it.
Right.
Exactly.
Meryl Streep, though, she made some interesting points about her. She said to have withstood the special, I think there was some, you know, whatever side of the partisan divide you're on, there's some analogy to Hillary, I think, in a way. She said,
sure.
To withstood the special hatred and ridicule unprecedented, in my opinion, leveled in our time at a public figure who was not a mass murderer, and to have managed to keep her convictions attached to fervent ideas and ideals, wrong-headed or misguided as we might see them now, without corruption, I see that as evidence of some kind of greatness worthy of for the argument of history to settle. So, and then she just talked about giving women and girls around the world reason to supplant fantasies of being princesses with a different dream, and so she made some good points.
Yeah,
there was a formidable woman. Whether you
totally, there was some quote from a British one of her, I think, her opposition, and it was something along the lines of there wasn't a government institution she wouldn't beat with her handbag.
Yeah,
and I thought that was kind of a funny,
absolutely
funny image and way to put it.
Would you like since we obviously marriage equality, would you somehow stepped in that this morning? We stepped in it, and I need to do this love story because it's going to make me cry.
Are you
going
to ask me to marry you? No?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, I am. Sarah Gilbert got engaged to her girlfriend, rocker Linda Perry, both of whom I know.
Really?
Formerly of Four Non Blondes.
That's right,
Perry.
Joey. Yes. Oh, I don't want to sing it because, A, I can't sing.
That was
but
Concrete
also,
Blonde.
Oh.
All right.
Joey. It's Linda Perry.
No, it's Concrete Blonde.
Ah, shoot. Sorry, Linda
Four
Perry.
Four Non Blondes did What's Up.
All right.
What's going on?
That's it.
Yeah.
Michael McDonald, unlike you, I do not have a fear of commitment, so this story makes me cry.
Oh, God.
She described the proposal. She said, we go to a park, we have food, and we're eating it. It's really sweet. There's this guy sitting playing guitar like a street musician. He starts playing the song that we love. I'm like, that's so weird. This is so magical and amazing. So that ends, and she's like, oh, I'm going to ask him to play this other song, but this other song is really obscure, and this guy wouldn't know it. Magically, he knows it. And suddenly, the people picnicking us next to us pull out string instruments from under the blanket and walk over and start playing Love Song by The Cure. Then she goes back to her backpack and pulls out some T-shirts. The first T-shirt says Will. Then she puts on another T-shirt that says You, Marry, Me. And the last one is a question mark. And then she goes through her backpack and gets a ring. It doesn't end there.
And then who's the guitarist?
Wait a minute. She adds, so then she says, okay, turn around. And I turn around and our moms are there and a couple of friends. So I think that's it, the most amazing proposal ever. And then this guy walks up and she's like, this is John Waite. And he starts playing Missing You.
Wow. She's gone.
I'm out. Nobody help me. Nobody touch me.
Wow.
Oh,
that's kind of cool.
Strong weight,
the babies. All right. Nobody can ever propose to anybody now. You've ruined
I know.
It for everybody. Linda Perry, damn you. Mm. All right. Let's go to Mike and Madison. You're on with Michael McDonald. Hey, Mike.
Good morning. Sam, responding to the woman who called earlier and was asking why you have to force yourselves upon us regarding the gay marriage.
Right.
And that's just crazy. I thought we established a long time ago that we all want Stephanie Miller to force herself upon us.
Thank you. Thank you for clearing that up. I appreciate that.
There goes my sexual harassment claim.
Yeah. Oh, she makes us sexually harass her every morning.
Absolutely. Otherwise.
You're fired.
All right. That's why people pay extra for the meet and group tickets.
Yep.
All right, one last celebrity stack. Alice Cooper ignored the advances of Raquel Welch when she threw herself at him. The guy that wrote the book said Alice had a propensity toward being faithful to his girlfriend. Can't he get kicked out of rock stardom for that?
He's always been like a conservative guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's into golf.
Wow, Raquel Welch? No.
Computer says no.
No. Putt putt.
Computer says yes.
Yes, that is hot.
No, he's actually like a really good celebrity golfer.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Mm-hmm. All right, let's do one last one for James in Chicago. You're on with Michael. Hi, James.
Hi. Oh, my God.
OMG.
Yes, it's my first time.
God. Okay.
The guy that had called earlier in the show about feel like he was being persecuted.
The Christian, yes.
Yes. Well, I've heard of a saying. It's called "Get off the cross. Someone else needs the wood."
I was going to get to that. That's kind of a southern expression. Bless his heart.
Bless your heart. When the lions are eating you, then you're being persecuted.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. All right, Michael McDonald, you can see him live at the Gotham Comedy Club in New York City this weekend, and then at Washington D.C. Improv, mm-hmm. April 26th to the 28th.
Follow him on Twitter at McDonald Comedy.
Yes, please.
I love you, Michael McDonald.
I love you back, Stephanie.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.